Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na nama rupe guna janma karma bihi. Nirupita vie tavatasya sakshinoha. Mano vachobhya manumeya vartmano. Deva kriyaya pratyantyatapihi. Nanama rupe guna kar... Nanama rupe guna janma karma bir. Nirupita vie tavatasya sakshinoha. Mano vachobhya manumeya vartmano. Deva kriyaya pratyantyatapihi. Na. Not. Nama rupe. The name and form. Guna. With attributes. Janma. Appearance. Karma bihi. Activities or pastimes. Nirupita vie. Are not able to be ascertained. Tava. Your. Tasya. Of him. Sakshinaha. Who is the direct observer? Manaha, of the mind. Vachobhyam, words. Anumeya, hypothesis. Vart manaha, the path. Deva, O Lord. Kriyayam, in devotional activities. Patiyanti, they realize. Atva api, still. He, indeed, you can be realized by the devotees. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate on the path of imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. Okay, I'm continuing in the middle of the purport. For persons who are not very advanced in absolute knowledge of the Supreme, Lord Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes. They can simply think of the pastimes of the Lord and get the full benefit. Since there is no difference between the transcendental name and form of the Lord, there is no difference between the transcendental pastimes and the form of the Lord. For those who are less intelligent, like women, laborers, or the mercantile class, the great sage Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, Krishna is present in his different activities. Mahabharata is history. And simply by studying, hearing, and memorizing the transcendental activities of Krishna, the less intelligent can gradually rise to the standard of pure devotees. The pure devotees, who are always absorbed in the thought of the transcendental lotus feet of Krishna, and who are always engaged in devotional service and full Krishna consciousness, are never to be considered to be in the material world. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained that those who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness by body, mind, and activities are to be considered liberated even within this body. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Those who are engaged in the devotional service of the Lord have already transcended the material position. Krishna appears in order to give a chance to both the devotees and the non-devotees for realization of the ultimate goal of life. The devotees get the direct chance to see him and worship him. Those who are not on that platform get the chance to become acquainted with his activities and thus become elevated to the same position. The Brahma Samhita says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santak Sadaiva Vidayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shyama Sundaram Achintya Gunasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. Although Krishna's transcendental form is presented as black, devotees who are in love with the Supreme Lord appreciate the Lord as Shyama Sundara, having a very beautiful blackish form. The Lord's form is so beautiful that the Brahma Samhita also states, Venum Kwanantam Aurovinda Dalaya Takshum Varhavatam Sam Asitam Buddha Sundarangam Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who plays on his transcendental flute. His eyes are like lotus flowers. He is decorated with peacock plumes, and his bodily color resembles the color of a fresh black cloud. Although his bodily features are more beautiful than millions of cupids, the beauty of the Supreme Lord can be seen by devotees who are in love with him. Devotees whose eyes are anointed with love of Godhead. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. So I'll say a few words here. Many people can't have any idea of God because they're too materialistic, especially they're sinful. You know, so those who's... Or what Shastra says is, but those who are two. Oh, Kautama Shloka Gunanuvara Puman Virajyeta Vinapashugnat. What man cannot be attracted, cannot be happy to hear, cannot be enlivened to hear the glorification of Krishna, his name, form, activities, pastimes, except for someone who's Pashugnat? Killer of animals, eater of animal flesh, or killer of oneself, suicide, maybe spiritual suicide, through, you know, Mayavad misconceptions, or killing himself from intoxication or something else. Such a person, killer of innocent creatures or of himself, he can't even hear the glories of God. What to speak of actually serve God and develop, you know, ruchi, taste, attraction for that service. So, some people are so sinful, they cannot have any conception of a Supreme Person. And others, they're less sinful, but not sinful, not free from sin enough, that they can actually have any personal connection with God. Yesham Twantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Dridavrata. It's those who are free from all sinful reactions of the past and who are not accumulating any more new sinful reactions. They're the ones Punya Karmanam. They're not doing anything bad. They've paid for everything they did bad in the past, or have somehow absolved themselves of those sinful reactions. Of course, by devotional service itself, there's automatic absolution from all kinds of sinful reactions, heaps of them, especially chanting Krishna's names. Anyway, one way or another, if one has disposed of his past sinful reactions, is not creating new sinful reactions, punya karma nam, and is acting to accumulate good karma, they're capable of engaging intently, enthusiastically, in Krishna's devotional service. You may say that devotional service is transcendental, has nothing to do with the modes. But it has something to do, because if you're in the sinful modes, basically passion and ignorance are sinful. In passion, you commit sinful activities and the reactions are postponed. Enjoy now, go to hell later. That's mode of passion. Mode of ignorance is you're in hell already. You're suffering right now the reactions. That's mode of ignorance. Either way, either immediate reactions or postponed reactions, there are sinful reactions involved in the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. So those who are especially in the lowest mode, it's hard for them to be enthusiastic about serving Krishna. Even though they know they're supposed to serve Krishna, it's hard to do it enthusiastically. But those who are free from all karmic reactions, certainly they have no problem. So, we're somewhere in the middle, probably. We can't say we're free from reactions, but we're not. There are people in this world who are even worse than us, if we look hard enough. There are people who are much more sinful than we are. So, we're somewhere in the middle. And therefore, according to where we are on the scale, on the spectrum, bad to good, it's relatively easy or hard for us to be engaged enthusiastically in Krishna's service. To the extent we can give up this apunya karma and just do punya karma, it's going to make it easier for us to take with all determination to the process of Shuddha Bhakti. And those who have Hare Krishna, who have cultivated the process of Shuddha Bhakti, they become purified to the point that eventually they can realize Krishna with all his beauty. The complete manifestation of Godhead in his most attractive feature is only discovered by those who are fully, absolutely purified. It is sometimes taken cheaply that by doing a certain ritual and doing it enough times, Krishna will reveal himself, that you get Krishna's darshan. Well, what's the use of that darshan if you're not pure? What are you going to do with it? Here's Krishna. He's giving himself to you. He's standing in front of you, but your hands are dirty. Your mind is dirty. Your heart is dirty. You're going to feel nice standing in front of Krishna, taking his darshan. So what's the use of the darshan? Seeing Krishna until we're 100% purified. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, more important than that we see Krishna is that we should be concerned that Krishna sees us. But anyway, this ability to actually realize Krishna and see him is reserved for those who are completely purified and completely dedicated to his service. It is there. That is the goal. Okay, there's more to the purport. I'll finish it now. Prabhupada continues. The Lord is also known as Giridhari or Girivarodhari. Because Krishna, for the sake of his devotees, lifted Govardhan Hill, the devotees appreciate the Lord's inconceivable strength. But non-devotees in spite of directly perceiving the Lord's inconceivable strength and power, regard the Lord's activities as fictitious. This is the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee. Non-devotees cannot give any nomenclature for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Lord is known as Shyama Sundara and Giridhari. Similarly, the Lord is known as Devaki Nandana and Yashoda Nandana because he accepted the role of son for Mother Devaki and Mother Yashoda, and he is known as Gopala because he enjoyed the sport of maintaining the cows and calves. Therefore, although he has no mundane name, he is addressed by devotees as Devaki Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, Gopala and Shyamasundara. These are all transcendental names that only devotees can appreciate and non-devotees cannot. The history of Krishna, the person, has been openly seen by everyone. Yet only those who are in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appreciate this history. Whereas non-devotees who have not developed their loving qualities think that the activities, form and attributes of the Personality of Godhead are fictitious. Therefore, this verse explains, Nanama rupe guna janma karma bir nirupitavye tava tasya sakshinaha. In this connection, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given the example that persons suffering from jaundice cannot taste the sweetness of sugar candy, although everyone knows that sugar candy is sweet. Similarly, because of the material disease, non-devotees cannot understand the transcendental name, form, attributes, and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although they actually see the Lord's activities, either through authority or through history. The Puranas are old, authentic histories, but non-devotees cannot understand them, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of Vedic knowledge. Non-devotees cannot understand even the preliminary study of transcendental knowledge, Bhagavad Gita. They simply speculate and present commentaries with absurd distortions. In conclusion, unless one elevates himself to the transcendental platform by practicing bhakti yoga, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or his name, form, attributes, and activities. But if by chance, by the association of devotees, one can actually understand the Lord and his features, one immediately becomes a liberated person. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam, evam yo viti tatvataha, tatva deham punar janma, naiti maam eti sorajuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Srila Rupa Goswami has therefore said that by affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotees can express their minds to him with their words. Others, however, cannot do this, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvataha. Devotees can express their mind to Krishna with their own words. Even if the Upanishads say, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha, the absolute truth cannot be described in words, cannot be understood by the mind. Okay, material mind, material words, but the devotees can talk to Krishna with their own words, and Krishna will respond. And they, in their hearts, in their minds, will actually communicate with Krishna. This is, you know, this is what bhakti is, actual sharing of loving exchange. We can have that. We just have to become properly purified and trained up how to do it. It's training. But training is a discipline. Just like you want to, I don't know, perform some job. You want to become an insurance salesman. My father was a real estate broker for 50 years. But sometimes the real estate business wasn't good. You know, if you sell all the houses in one area, there's nothing left to sell. So once in a while he tried some other business. He decided to try the insurance business. So at the age of 45, he went to the, I forgot the name of the company, big insurance company in New York City, and went for 2 weeks to get trained up how to be an insurance salesman. They had a school and a course. You know, and it was disciplined. You know, if you wanted to get a job to be a representative of that company selling insurance, just selling insurance, isn't it? But still, the insurance representative was expected to properly represent the company and to be knowledgeable, be responsible. So he had got training. A Vaishnava is meant to be not only internally connected to Krishna, but he's got an external position in the material world. He's a representative of Krishna in the material world. Krishna is concerned not only that the Vaishnavas have proper connection with himself inside, he's concerned about what they look like on the outside, how the rest of the world deals, you know, is how they deal with the rest of the world, how they represent Krishna in this world. Krishna is training us up to be his representatives in the material world. The Vaishnava is also that. So that requires proper training. You know, it's a simple thing. You know, it's no mystery that there should be some learning from authorities, some learning the company standards, rules. So in the corporation of bhakti, there are certain company rules. There are ways that bhakti is done. Bhakti is standard. Bhakti is not whimsical. There are company textbooks. You know, the companies write their own handbooks for their employees. So these are the Pancharatrika, the Puranas, and the other books. And we're told, you know, company rule. Just like IBM, on the wall they have think. You know, that's the motto. Everyone should think. If you want to work for this company, you have to think. Actually, I didn't work for IBM, I worked for AT&T. AT&T, you don't have to think. Anyway, our company, Bhakti Corporation, the motto is, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidyam Vina. I'm sorry, you know, our rules are all in shlokas, they're a little long. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidyam Vina Aikantikim Hare Bhaktim Utpattayeva Kalpate. This is their company motto, corporation motto. That you may think you've got love for Krishna, but your bhakti is just a disturbance to the rest of us. This is a corporation. You know, they have to be concerned about, you know, how we affect other people. Your devotion to Krishna is just a disturbance to all the other employees if you're not following the corporate textbook, handbooks, the Shruti, Smriti, Pancharatrika, Purana, and so on. We've got a whole library where we keep our corporate handbooks. You can come and study them. Or they're available online, whatever. And without following these standard rules of behavior and thought, our devotional service becomes whimsical. Not only does that cause problems internally, because our connection with Krishna will not be proper, but externally, we are just a disturbance to the other devotees. Otherwise, in other words, we're not, you know, we're not company people. We're not functioning in harmony with the goals of the corporation, Bhakti Corporation. So we have to learn how to, I don't know how you say it. I actually never was much in the business world. I worked for AT&T for 6 months as a programmer. That's not really business. We have to learn how to become corporate men in this Bhakti Corporation and do things the way that they're done in devotional service. Then we can tune in Sevon Mukhe. Our senses and mind can become attuned to the proper wavelength of devotional service. And gradually we become more and more focused. And what the object of that focus will eventually reveal itself to be is that Yam Shama Sundanam Achintya Guna Swarupam, beautiful and black, all attractive Krishna. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
I'd like to ask about this topic of strength of sound, of spiritual sound. So there are some people, including devotees, who advocate that only sounds coming from the living person can actually have some spiritual effect.
All the sounds from anybody?
Only sounds coming from living person.
Oh, only coming from a living person.
Yes.
I see.
Written text. Jesus, basically. Written text recorded to the computer MP3 for months. This is all Jesus.
Yes.
These sounds come from a living person. This is recorded.
Well, this is one opinion.
Yes.
And those who believe that, if your guru is telling you that, then I guess you should follow it. Or if you're attracted to that opinion, you should follow such a person. But Srila Prabhupada had a contrary opinion, demonstrably. Although he didn't make a big thing out of it, he didn't argue it, but he demonstrated it in his teachings and in his practical instructions. He would give initiations, even when he was present, even when he was available. He was in a city and he was giving initiation himself. He would hand out the beads and give the threads to the second initiates. Okay, then he would tell them to come to his room and he whispered in the ear. But sometimes, even when Prabhupada was there, he would have the Gayatri Mantra be given through a cassette tape recording. Yeah. And when he wasn't there, he would always have it done like that. Prabhupada instructed to do that. Therefore, he was of the opinion that it was potent. Prabhupada considered his purports, his recorded kirtans, that persons who only had a connection with him through the book had a real relationship with him. It is recognized by most senior members of ISKCON that, in fact, it's ISKCON law, that every disciple, every devotee in ISKCON can and should consider themselves Shiksha disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Even if they never met him or heard anything from him face to face, they are his Shiksha disciples because they are receiving real instruction from his books. And because there are many cases of people who only had Prabhupada's books and were living in isolated places where they had no association of ISKCON devotees, that they became Krishna conscious by that association only. By that book only. And others who never met Prabhupada but feel that he's guiding them personally. And that they should not be told that he isn't. Prabhupada is their Shiksha Guru. And that, we have to assume that potency is coming through the book without the physical presence. I would have to argue. I'm just saying that is Prabhupada's opinion, demonstrably. Now I can argue. I can try just present a little argument. Why should it be necessary to have that physical, visible presence to have a spiritual communication? One thing is to argue, and we do argue that for taking diksha. You should have a physical presence. You should have a person alive there to give the diksha. But now you're saying that you cannot even have shiksha without physical presence. So I think, you know, and a funny thing is sometimes the same people who will allow diksha without physical presence are the ones who are arguing you can't have shiksha without physical presence. Anyway, I don't see the basis for that. I can see reason why it's... I can see according to precedence and the way it's always done in all the sampradayas, that the initiation is taken from a living person. That's the norm. Just by what all Vaishnavas and even non-Vaishnavas do. But I don't see the precedence or the shastric argument for having that you have to receive instruction directly face to face. Spiritual instruction. The words are potent, even in the book, even on the tape recording. Even repeated from another person. Anyway, someone else, you know, wants to have a contrary opinion. Okay, they can have it, but some it sound. Okay. Yes,
ma'am. When one is chanting japa, so the recommended process is we do japa and we hear our own voice.
Yes.
So, isn't it better if, you know, we hear our guru's voice or Srila Prabhupada's voice?
While you're chanting japa?
Yeah, or as a replacement? I mean, either way? Is that
then Prabhupada's chanting japa. You mean don't even chant? Just listen to Prabhupada chanting? If you chant out loud, you're going to hear yourself chanting.
That's right.
You know? So the only way to avoid hearing yourself chanting is not chant. Just let Prabhupada chant, and listen, you know, instead of yourself. But no. That's not kirtanam. That's shravanam. That's nice, it's hearing. But you can't just push out kirtanam. Yeah, Prabhupada's already gone back to Godhead. We don't have to, you know, do any sadhana for him. We have to go back to Godhead too. Yeah, so we have to chant.
No, I understand. My question is that
we should hear ourselves. We have to develop our relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada's already developed his.
Like my question in terms of, you know, let's say, Shravanam isn't it one of the?
Yeah, but it's not. You know, Shravanam without Kirtanam is not complete. So you know, a disciple should hear from his guru, and then repeat what he's heard. You know, repeat to the guru. You told me this. Am I correct? Is this what you told me? A guru would like to hear from the disciple what he told, in the disciple's own words. And then the disciples should go out and tell others. You know, help spread. Ebeyash gushuk tribhuvan. Now your glory should be spread all over the three worlds. Not just because I wear a t-shirt, you know, with your face on it. But I'm repeating your instructions. So so we shouldn't only listen. You know, we should open our mouths and repeat. Also in our japa. We should practice chanting. Just like a music teacher, you know, you may think, well, he's so great, he's a virtuoso, why should I even try to imitate him? But you're the student, you're supposed to imitate him and learn how to play also. You'll never learn how to play if you only listen. You gotta, you know, as awful as you're going to sound, you have to, in his presence, imitate him. That's how you learn how to be a musician. At least in India, that's how you learn how to be a musician. You know, he'll tolerate it. That's his job, to teach. Yeah.
And it would be far superior to listen to superior doing japa while one is doing japa also.
I don't know. I personally, you know, can't be listening to so much else while I'm trying to chant. You know, it's hard enough to focus on my own voice. Yeah. Akia can listen.
You have to tell Krishna, I love you. You have to give a personal message.
Yes?
Hare Krishna, you are talking to Krishna.
Okay. Yes. Well, I won't deny. Yeah, but that may be a little more advanced. You know, in the beginning, you can. No, it's not. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to your guru or listen to somebody else chanting. But I don't think it's absolutely required. It's a matter of personal choice. You shouldn't keep yourself out of the picture altogether. You have to hear your own voice also.
Yeah.
But if it helps you focus, you can listen to you can listen to your guru chanting. I mean, devotees have these machines that play Prabhupada's voice, and they have them on 24 hours a day sometimes. I mean, it's Prabhupada's voice, but sometimes I find that impressive. It's like, George Orwell's 1984. You know, you got this background sound constantly. Yeah. I mean, I can't say there's anything wrong with listening to Prabhupada chant 24 hours a day, but just to have the same tape on day and night, it's just too much for me. Maybe for some devotees, but that's what they like. But yes.
Is it correct that to be a serious devotee, one should follow the principle of Sankhya Purvaka to chant the strictly amount of means, and therefore one should chant and
To follow in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one should do that because he did.
Yeah.
And the Goswami, six Goswamis did Sankhya Purvaka. We can if again that can be there's some leeway in that. After you've chanted your prescribed rounds, you can be more lax about counting the rest. If you chant extra, maybe you can do it without counting. It wouldn't be against the law to chant extra rounds without counting them. But what your prescribed rounds should be carefully counted. You have to follow the line of Chaitanya. Then if you like to chant, put your beads away and just chant after that, extra, then you can do that.
Just a comment.
But it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to ever chant without your hands on your beads, Is that the cleaning lady? I'm sorry. Did you have something
moved? You wanted to see.
No, I thought you had your head.
Some comment?
I think he just did it.
No, he just did. I just remember that 6 months ago was a similar question issue. It was like a debate. One devotee published a question that in some temples they during japa right of the Mangala Arati, they switch on very loudly Prabhupada japa.
Yeah.
And he said, "Is it okay? Because he said I cannot even hear my voice and I cannot concentrate. Is it what is it my own anatta or should I adjust myself?" And then debate arose.
Yes.
Why is it so loud? Anyway, so and senior Prabhupada disciples they spoke up like Harishodhi Prabhu. He said, "Well, I personally really like when Prabhupada's tape is being played, but of course I heard myself, especially in India, in a few places when they put so loud we cannot hear even anything." And if you object to this, they say, "Prabhu, this is transcendental words of Prabhupada. You just." And then like Kurma Prabhu, for example, from Australia, he said, "I like just to concentrate. I like to play Prabhupada japa when I'm cooking, for example.
Yes.
But when I'm chanting, I would like, it's a personal..."
Yes, it's personal.
But the only thing was, like, at the end, the conclusion that if it's too loud, for example, if the devotees cannot hear their own voice, in some temples, in many places, like even in Lithuania, they just try to dance and be soft.
Yes.
It was about 2 weeks debate on this. I brought up the japa.
Anyway, japa shouldn't be turned into a torture.
Yeah.
It should be enjoyable, and devotees should be allowed a little leeway to, with their sadhana, as long as they do it. If a temple wants it, if a temple arranges to everyone sits down for an hour together, but you can't sit everybody down for 24 hours.
I remember 5 or 6 devotees came out of the stadium. How can you dare to, this is the transcendental voice of Prabhupada, how can you, object to his tape being played? And doesn't matter how loud is it.
Well, it does matter. Come on, you got to be a little sensible.
Then Hari Shaw came into the scene and he just...
Yeah.
He said, "I like Prabhupada playing, but it's..."
Yeah, anyway, in India they can drive you crazy. Yeah. Just by doing too much of anything. Yeah.
If something is very loud, then blood can come from the ears.
Yeah.
If it's enough load.
Yeah. So. Anyway. Hare Krishna. Anyway, we shouldn't make Prabhupada depressive. Just by turning his volume up too loud.
Yeah, I think also, I don't know where it is, but it says that your japa should not be disturbance to someone else.
Yes.
And I remember reading in some places like a disciple is sitting and chanting japa loudly and Prabhupada is sitting nearby. And Prabhupada says, your japa should not disturb his spiritual master's japa.
Yeah.
You should chant softly.
Yes.
And my Guru Maharaj was saying recently that he used to have this habit of chanting loudly. So if he had some other thought in his mind, like especially I think when he was in the Calcutta temple or something, or Canada, I don't remember, he would chant loudly. If some other thought came, he would chant even more loudly to suppress the thought. So, you know, people went up to Prabhupada and said, his chanting is disturbing us. So Prabhupada said, no, you should not chant so loudly. If you want to chant so loudly, you know, it's good that you're doing that when your thoughts come. So just go up on the hill and...
Yeah, go outside and do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, you know, we're not... You know, Nirjana Bhajan, you know, Bhajananandis, but if you want to chant your japa in seclusion, it's not a crime. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And hear, just carefully hear. If that helps you hear, then do it. Go out in the woods and chant, if you can find any. Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah.